Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional from Mumbai, India, Preeti Sridhar. Preeti, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Preeti is the Chief Executive Officer of the Mariwala Health Initiative. She spearheads the advocacy initiatives where she leads the work on suicide prevention, workplace mental health, and she's on the advisory board for the Global Mental Health Action Network. So Preeti, tell me about your journey and what got you interested in the area of health.
So I think I have had an interesting career so far. I started off in finance, have worked in banking and financial services for 18 years, India markets, global markets, had been on the business side, then moved to HR, and I resigned on my 40th birthday saying, let's resign and see what life has for me. I think it was part of my personal journey at that point in time, because I started doing a psychology course called transactional analysis, and it told me I've always been be perfect, and have a certain way of looking at life. So I did that, and then I explored around me for around 5 years being in the development sector, worked with multiple NGOs, and then I think MHI happened for me.
Nice. Thank you. So tell me about the Mariwala Health Initiative and what are your core objectives?
So MHI is a personal philanthropy of Harsh Mariwala. We work in the space of mental health and suicide prevention. And our objective is to make mental health services accessible to marginalized communities. So it is service delivery that we facilitate through our work and we support through our grant making also.
Interesting. And Preeti, mental health is now being spoken about not just in our country, but all over the world. So for my viewers and listeners, tell me, how do you define the term mental health and why is it crucial in our world today?
So we use the WHO definition for mental health, which says mental health is not absence of illness. Mental health is ability of an individual to fully contribute to the society or community that they live in. Live to their full potential. I think it's important to talk about mental health in this world when we talk about meritocracy and we talk about resilience. It's important to understand that it's not just an individual's lack of resilience that is mental health issues, but it is the experience of an individual based on their identity, based on their socioeconomic positions. That impact their mental well-being and that impact how they interact with the world.
Very interesting.
And yeah, in the current world, it's more important for us to understand others around us.
Given all the stress that we are faced with, isn't it?
Yes.
Well said. And Preeti, what in your view are some of the common misconceptions about mental health? Because in our country, not too many people are willing to talk about it.
That's because we use a very biomedical language of mental health, right? We talk about mental health as stress. We talk about it as depression and anxiety. But if we move away from that and we look at mental health as just mental well-being or from a continuum perspective, we look at it from, say, stress, distress, diagnosis, and disability. And we talk in the language of stress and distress, you will find people talk about it. The moment you say depression and anxiety, these are diagnoses that people can't talk.
And, tell me a little bit about some of the innovative mental health initiatives that MHI has supported.
So the way we work is we work in three broad, I would say, verticals. One is grant making, where we give funds to other organizations that are working in mental health. We do advocacy where we interact with stakeholders. These could be mental health professionals, government, NGOs that are working in the development sector, workplaces, individuals, communities, and try and promote a mental health concept which is more psychosocial in nature. And the third work that we do is capacity building. Now, when I look at grant making and we think about what are innovative work that we have supported. So one of our partners, Ishwar Sankalpo, works in Kolkata. They work with people living on the street. So one of the work that they do is people living on the street build relationships and contacts with others who do business on the street. So your hawkers. And these hawkers do take care of individuals who may have mental health issues and may come around them. So what Ishwar Sankalpo does is they strengthen this relationship between the person living on the street due to mental health issues, as well as the hawkers or the shopkeepers, and provide mental health support, which could be medication, through after a diagnosis has been done by a relevant person and the client is willing to take these medicines to provide the support to the individuals living on the street. Now, that's innovative because you're not saying that every person needs to be in a shelter because not everyone wants to be in a shelter. At the same time, you're building and promoting the community living that India and other Southeast Asian countries may have. So that's one of the projects that we fund. The other project that we fund is on farmer suicides. Now, that's a big issue in a country like India, which is agriculture dominant country. Here, what we do is we have a partner called Shiver Foundation that works in Osmanabad district in Maharashtra, a drought prone district in Maharashtra. Here, what they do is they talk about mental health and suicide prevention in any of the village level or a district level meeting. And when you talk about this subject, somebody or the other will come and tell you, I am experiencing this distress, or I know somebody who's experiencing a lot of debt and maybe experiencing this distress. Now, what Shiva does is it has a large group of volunteers who are from agriculture colleges. And because they are agriculture students, they themselves come from farming background. Now, what these students will do, there are volunteers for each village, will go to a person who has either talked about it themselves or has referred a family that is undergoing a lot of financial distress. And they'll go and talk to this family and say, we are like your children. We understand what you're going through. Let's talk about it. Now, most of the concerns of the farmer may be related to some government scheme, access to education, access to agriculture benefits. Now, they will then work with the farmer to draft an appropriate letter to the authorities so that they can get their social benefits. They will then take this letter, give it to the district level collector, and say, these are the issues faced by people. Can you resolve it? The district collector now has a mechanism where there's a coordinator who will work on the issues. So, this is a very creative way of working on an issue where you're working on stressors that are caused due to agriculture. And it's done by somebody who is from the same background. So you understand the unique stressors of that occupation.
Well
So
said.
that's another work that we
Well said.
fund.
Thank you. The other question that I wanted to ask you also was about the pandemic. And I've spoken to many people, and this is the pandemic had a lot of impact on mental health amongst a lot of people around the world. I'd love to get your perspective on how did the COVID-19 pandemic impact medical health, particularly in marginalized communities?
Right. So when we talk about marginalized communities, who are these communities? And we will need to look at marginalization beyond economic marginalization. So my marginalization could be because of my gender. So it could be women, non-binary persons, trans persons. It could be because of my sexuality, which means that I'm not a heterosexual person. It could be because of my caste. So I may be a Dalit, person, or it could be because of my ethnicity, which is Adivasi person, or it could be because of my ability or ableism, which is a disabled person. So now, if you look at what happened during COVID, where there is a scenario that there is an extended period of lockdown, livelihood got impacted. But whose livelihood got impacted? It got impacted of migrant workers. It got impacted of domestic workers. Now, when your livelihood gets impacted, and I don't know, or I need to think a lot more about my food now, that's a stressor for me. So lack of food impacted mental well-being. Similarly, when you think about education, there were people or schools that were able to move to online education. So who are the students who could not access this education? Because I don't have a laptop at home, or I don't have electricity at home, or I don't know how to use it. Or sometimes all of this is there, but my data was not sufficient enough. Or there were two siblings trying to study at the same time. So that impacted student community, right? If you look beyond then, when everything was shut down, access to regular medication by people having severe mental health issues or people having HIV/AIDS or TB, that impacted their mental well-being. So healthcare access impacted it. So it was access to basic services or basic right to live that got impacted during COVID for marginalized communities.
Very interesting.
And we are usually otherwise talking about work from home, which is a different conversation.
Absolutely right. And how do you work towards, in providing advocacy for legal and policy reforms in mental health?
So one is, let's start that by the time I entered the sector in 2018, India had one of the finest mental health care acts. Because it talked about mental health from a psychosocial lens, it talked about community-based mental health, it talked about the continuum of services, it talked about the agency of the person having mental health issues to decide what kind of care and treatment they should have. What we needed to work on as Marivala Health Initiative was implementation of this act, which meant we had to work with the way some of the state governments to say, have you understood the act? Work with the government officials to let them know what the act means, what are their new roles and responsibilities, what's the new approach to mental health care? Because we did away with a very old and archaic law. So I think that was one thing that we did. We also, over the last 2 years, have worked a lot on suicide prevention. India has more than 1,60,000 deaths by suicide in a year. Now, there is no conversation about suicide prevention. If you look at this number, it's almost or more than five times.
Okay, so my next question to you, Preeti, is that how does MHI utilize technology to enhance mental health services and outreach?
So we are when we ask this question, we say people forget that telephone is also a technology,
Absolutely right.
right? And I think in this era of smartphones or most of the mental health care new solutions that are coming are relying on this smartphone. But we are still a more bigger proponent of using helplines which are telephone based. And I'll tell you the difference between the two. In a helpline, when I call, I can choose not to track who's calling. So it continues to be anonymous. And of course, the conversation is confidential.
Right.
The other thing that happens is it's cheap, right? I can talk when nobody's around in the house. And if you look at instead a technology-driven, which is smartphone-driven, app or app-based thing, then who has a telephone in the family? It's
Right.
not the children, it's not the woman. Second, if you use app-based conversations with either an AI chat box
Right.
or even an individual, those are open for men or others, elders in the family to have access to. Right? So in a country like India, this may or may not work. The other thing is, how many of us will talk about emotions in English? Right? I mean, we speak English, but not many of us. We read English, again, not many of us. But even those who read and speak English, our vocabulary on emotions is very limited in English.
Right.
Right? We don't have that wide intensity level vocabulary on emotion. So मैं आज ठीक नहीं महसूस कर रही हूँ, मुझे आज दुख, मुझे इस बात से दुख हुआ है, या मैं शोक में हूं. लाइक दीज आर थ्री वर्ड्स टू एक्सप्रेस
करेक्ट.
सैडनेस, एंड वी हैव दोज टर्मिनोलॉजीज इन आर लोकल लैंग्वेजेस. फॉर मी इट्स हिंदी, फॉर समबडी एल्स इट कुड बी मराठी और
राइट.
तमिल, एंड वी डोंट जस्ट गेट दैट वर्ड्स व्हेन इट्स इन इंग्लिश. सो दैट बिकम्स अ लिमिटिंग फैक्टर. एंड ऑफ कोर्स डेटा, व्हाइल डेटाज रीच इज देयर, it's still an expensive resource to have in a household.
Well said, well said. My next question is that how do you, and I, when I was reading about you, you also do a lot of work in training professionals.
Yes.
How does the MHI work towards building capacity and training professionals in the area of mental health?
So when we started working on mental health and we started talking about a psychosocial approach to mental health, where we are saying mental health is impacted, is not just a psychological issue, but also lack of access to social benefits because of who we are. We realized that we will need to do advocacy with different stakeholders, mental health professionals being one of them. We started doing advocacy, and then you realize, but they are coming back, okay, I understand what you're doing. Now, how do I get trained to do it? So then we said, okay, now we will need to do training programs that are ecosystem strengthening and are currently not offered by any of our partners whenever we launch it. So our first program in that was queer affirmative counseling practices.
Right.
Where we are teaching the mental health professionals that what are the gaps in the psych disciplines, where psych disciplines look at mental health from an individual lens and look at it as more irrational thinking or resilience building, and how MHI is looking at it, saying there are unique stressors that cohorts may experience. In case of QACP, it was how the LGBTQIA+ community experiences stress because of who they are, how their family may or may not accept their realities, how the workplaces are not accommodative. And when such a client comes to you, how do you work with such a client? And how do you first understand the issue that they're experiencing? So we started off with that. And then we realized that there are educational institutes who are saying, oh, we want to understand more about gender and sexuality. So we started a 2-hour, I would say, more awareness building program called Gender, Sexuality and Mental Health from the Margins. Our programs are designed in such a manner, the QACP is, the design was done by mental health professionals who are from the community. And it's being delivered by people from the community.
Right.
Like I was saying, we started talking about suicide prevention and realized, again, nobody's talking about suicide prevention. And when you talk about certain issues, it is unethical to not provide for services should somebody ask. So when we started talking about suicide prevention, we said, okay, who is going to provide these services?
Right.
And that time we realized that there are enough and many social workers who are in the development sector who are working with communities, but on different issues. But if you're working on education, or if you're working on livelihood, or if you're working on violence against women, all of these are underlying stressors for mental health and suicide. So we said, can we build social workers' capacity to provide crisis intervention? So then that's another training that we came out for a different cohort or a stakeholder. So we have realized we need to keep coming out with
Very interesting.
Capacity building
Sure.
the moment we start engaging with a particular stakeholder.
Fascinating. So please have time for two more questions. My next
Sure.
question is, can you share a success story or a significant impact made by MHI in the field of mental health?
I think within MHI, each one of us will have a different answer to the question depending on when we joined MHI and what role we are performing. I think for me, when I joined MHI, mental health still was not a topic that you could have conversation on. I had to start all my responses with what is mental health and why is it important? Today, that's not a conversation that we usually start with. So the fact that mental health impacts marginalized communities differently, I think that's a conversation that MHI has pushed for. And we are seeing a lot more, at least people talking about mental well-being of marginalized communities. Earlier, that was not
right
a conversation that was happening. So personally, I would say that. And probably the fact that there are a lot more organizations that we are funding today on mental health than before. So there is a joke that Raj and I keep saying that Harshad once asked us, Priti, what's the ecosystem of mental health if you were to fund everybody? And this was in 2018. We had that time five projects that we were funding. And Raj and I really thought, who are the mental health organizations? And we said 20. Today, we are funding 60 plus projects,
wow,
right? So our own understanding has increased. We are able to find organizations that are led by people from marginalized background that talk about mental health, not necessarily in a diagnostic language of depression, anxiety, but talk about it from a very local, contextual understanding of what is causing stress to their communities. I think, and we are the first institutional funder for them. I think that is the second impact, that we are able to actually reach out to marginalized communities and support their journey of providing services.
Very interesting. Thank you. And my last question to you, Preeti, given all the understanding you have on mental health and all the work that you're doing through MHI, what is one key message you would like to share with our listeners about mental health?
So the WHO says one in four of us will experience mental health issues once in our lifetime. If that's the case, then as individuals, how are we supporting those who are in need of mental health support within our family, within our friends, within our schools, colleges, workplaces? I think it is important to understand how are we acting as support systems, because it's not about stigma reduction. If they stand up and speak about their mental health issues, are we ready to listen and support them?
Very interesting. And on that note, Preeti, thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of mental health and the great work Marewala Health Initiative is doing. Thank you also for your powerful message, which is, it's not, you know, one in four will have a mental health issue as per WHO. And therefore, our challenge is, how do we support such issues? And how do we ensure that there are no stigmas attached to mental health? Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.